Now let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 through 11. Last week, of course, was Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next big event, though, is going to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn to the internet, go to a Christian bookstore, you are going to find a ton of books on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Question, though, is how many of those books are right? Now, the second coming is important, but we need to understand exactly what Scripture says. And one of the places you can go is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me read to you what Paul says in these 11 verses. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we don't need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Let's pray and ask God to illuminate our hearts so that we understand what He is saying to us in the 21st century. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now for the presence of Your Spirit so that You will remove the blinders that we have on, to be able to see what You have in store for us. Show us Your grace and help us to be ready for Your return. I make this prayer in Your name. Amen. March 11th, 1942, on Corregidor, 62-year-old Army officer, his family, and his secretary miraculously escaped from the Philippines and made it to Australia. That was Douglas MacArthur. And remember what he said when he was leaving to the Philippines people? I shall return. And lo and behold, 2.5 years later, he did return, and his radio message this time, this is the voice of freedom, people of the Philippines. I have returned. When I think of those words by MacArthur, I am drawn to what the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus. Because you know what? He too said, I shall return. He is coming again. And in the book of Thessalonians, we find a lot of teachings about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And people back then had a lot of questions. Paul didn't spend all that long teaching them there. He had to move on. And they were having questions like, what's going to happen to Uncle Joe and Billy, who had already died? Or have we missed out on the second coming because we're still here and others have departed? What's going to happen to us? Well, the souls of believers are in heaven. They're waiting, waiting expectantly for that second coming to happen. And here, Paul gives us instructions about how we are to prepare for it. All the Christian creeds just about have a teaching on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostles' Creed, for instance. The Westminster Confession of Faith. You find it in the five fundamentals of the faith. It is referred to as the imminent return because we don't know the exact time of that return. It could happen in the next 5 minutes, the next 5 years, the next 500 years. We don't know, but it could happen anytime. And we're not exactly told of the date. But what the Spirit is telling us here is how we are to prepare for that second coming. And there's two ways. There is the wrong way, and there is the right way to prepare. There is one way that you need to avoid and another way that you need to embrace. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing here through Paul's writings. And we're going to start out with the wrong way to be prepared. And the wrong way is this: to become overly concerned about times and dates. Now look at what the passage says here. It starts out dealing with the day of the Lord. You will see that in verse 2, where it says, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come." Now, that whole idea goes back to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there was a future time that the prophets talked about when the Lord would act. It is probably not a 24-hour day, because sometimes in Scripture, the Old Testament, day doesn't always refer to a 24-hour time period. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But it is a time when Christ will bring judgment to this world. There's going to be a time when God visits this world and calls to account those who are in sin and rebellion. He is going to vindicate himself through judgment. And if you look at the Bible, it is often associated with a day of darkness, a time of calamity, because God is going to bring harsh judgment on those who have rejected him, to those who are the enemies of Israel, the kingdom of God. But it is also going to be a day of salvation, where the land is returned to God's people. The new heavens and the new earth will ultimately be ushered in. The land will once again flow with milk and honey. And God's people will dwell with God forever. They will no longer feel as if he has abandoned them. They will be blessed by God to the fullest. That's the day of the Lord. And it was used in the Old Testament, and it's also used in the New Testament, like we just read here. And it refers to Christ's second coming. Notice, for example, in 1 Corinthians 1:8, Paul says, "He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the Thessalonians, like I said, they had some questions about all this. Jesus is coming. They believed it, but they didn't fully understand it. And there were many who had deviated from what Paul had taught them. So he needs to instruct them some more about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how to be ready. And there was also the concern about the time period. And I want you to look closely at what he says here about timing of it all. First of all, if you look in these first three verses, he says that that day will come like a thief in the night. Now, most of us don't know when a thief is going to show up. That is the point here. All these NFL superstars have had their homes broken into and a lot stolen. If they knew, the police would have been there, but they don't know. Even with all the sophisticated alarms and safety systems we have, teaching was true back then, true today. You don't know, but you need to be ready. You don't know the exact time, but you need to be ready. He also uses another metaphor here. He said, it's going to be like a woman in labor pains. When do those labor pains come? You don't know. Now, I know from my own experience in this about 30-some years ago, when Jan was pregnant with Sarah, little Sarah decided to come at a very early hour, and I'm getting woken up. I had to grab a quick bowl of Cheerios because the whole thing interrupted my morning routine. Didn't know. Didn't prepare. But it came. Out of nowhere, almost. Well, that's the way the Lord's second coming is. You're not going to know the exact date or time. It's going to happen, but don't try to figure out the exact date and time. And I want you to know what Jesus said about dates and times. For example, in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, but about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time is coming. So what do you think Paul was telling these people? Don't get so caught up about times and dates. The alarm clock for his second coming is set. But we don't know the exact hour. Let me tell you why this is important. Do you realize throughout the history of the world, there have been people who have speculated and believed that Jesus was going to come at a certain time? In Europe, 1000 AD, because a millennium had passed, people thought Jesus was going to come 1000 AD. Didn't happen. 14th century, there was widespread famine. They thought Jesus was going to come. He didn't come. During the Reformation, people thought there was going to be the second coming of the Lord. Didn't happen. The Jehovah's Witnesses, their theology is partly based on that they know the exact time when Jesus Christ is coming again. And we can move on into other events, such as the Millerites, who in 1842 said, Jesus is coming. Didn't happen. So they had to readjust their timing. And they said, oops, we made a mistake. It's 1844. Jesus didn't come. Let's go to the 20th century. Israel founded as a nation. Jesus has got to be coming now. Didn't happen. Remember in the 1970s, some of you were young people back then, Hal Lindsey, he said that the end of the world is going to happen in the 1980s. Didn't happen. You also have August 8th, 1988 was supposed to be the end. Didn't happen. You have the Gulf War. People said it's going to be the end of the world. Jesus is coming back. Didn't happen. Y2K, end of the world, Jesus is coming. Didn't happen. Now, why am I reciting all those facts? Because people have been trying to figure it out for years and it hasn't worked yet. Because Jesus plainly says you don't know enough information. It's going to happen, but don't try to figure out the timing. If you go out and buy money, buy books on this and the tapes, you're wasting your money because the preachers don't know. Anyone who has really studied the Bible will say they don't know. Think about what Jesus said. The wrong way to prepare is to worry about dates and times. Well, so then you ask, is there a right way Yeah, there is a right way. The right way is you do prepare. Now, in the military, do they prepare for a future war? Of course they do. They invest money into research. They come up with battle plans. Think about the Cold War and what went on then, and Ronald Reagan and the Star Wars defense system, because they looked ahead and prepared for what might happen. In sports, what takes place? The football team, the baseball team, they got to go over the scouting reports and they get themselves ready and in shape for the big game. And what does a coach say if a team loses? We weren't prepared. And what is another saying of the coaches? Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. Yes, you can fail to prepare for the second coming. And look at who Paul focuses on. He says, some of you people who are in the church, you're not prepared. Look at what he says in verse 5. You are children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. The idea of night and darkness is often associated with alienation from God. And these people are saying, apparently, look, there's going to be peace and there's going to be safety. We don't need to worry about the second coming at all. Governments promise you peace and safety. They promised it to subjugated people. But Paul says, no, 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 no. If you are not prepared for his second coming, you are not going to be ready, because you are going to face the judgment of God. Look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. What does Paul say? God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire and his powerful angels. He's coming. You need to have your lifestyle in order every day. Didn't say you had to be perfect. But you do need to believe in Jesus and you do need to follow his ways. And look at what he says here, how we're to do that. We are to live as children of God, sons of light. You are to be alert and self-controlled, as it says in verse 6. And he goes on to say that you need to put on the armor of God, the triad of virtues. And what are those? Faith. Do you believe in Jesus? That he is the one who's going to save you from the wrath to come? Do you believe that God is faithful? Do you have the armor of hope, in which there is a world that tells you your faith is foolish? But do you hope in God who will deliver? And do you love God and his people? Faith, hope, and love. Those are the ways that you are ready to prepare for his second coming. Now, I want you to think for a moment. We all know about the fools who don't prepare for hurricanes, right? Right. What do? They get the warning, the hurricane is coming, the hurricane is coming. And what do? They go out, they buy their party snacks, they get their liquor, they get their alcohol, and what do? They party, then the hurricane comes along and blows up their building. They're not ready. Same with the Lord's second coming. All of us need to be cognizant of the fact that one day we're going to meet the Lord, either because of our own death or because he's coming back. You got to be ready. You have to be ready for that. What is the Boy Scouts motto? What is it? Be prepared. Same for the Christian. Be prepared by believing in Jesus Christ and by following his ways. When I was growing up, there was all that teachings about the second coming. And I remember the guilt trip that often believers would be put upon. It went something like this: if Jesus comes and you're in a dirty movie, what's he going to think? If you're reading a Playboy magazine, what do you think? What is Jesus going to do? And yeah, it was guilt, but it was right. Because when Jesus comes, you do want to be his follower. And that's why we come to the Lord's table. Because let's be honest, we're not going to be 100% sinless. What we need is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say at the end of this? For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. He offers us his grace as the hope of surviving that great day. Let's now come to the Lord's table and prepare ourselves for the day of his coming. Our Heavenly Father, we now ask that you will prepare us for that great day, reminding us that Jesus Christ is coming again and he is going to judge the quick and the dead. But he has not left us without hope, because he died for our sins and has given us his grace, so that as those who are perishing hold on to a lifeboat or to a float, so we grasp hold of you, our Savior, with our faith. I make this prayer in his name. Amen.